The Covenant, the Settlement of the Lord's Lawsuit. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Micah 6, verse 8. When Micah opened the eyes of the people to the thunderous voice of the Lord, who brought the sulking dissatisfaction of the people into the sharp light of a lawsuit, the Lord showed that people immediately that this lawsuit, which was based on the covenant, could only in that same covenant provide the settlement. Indeed, there is a fine irony in this paragraph. The people from their side, as long as they still reasoned outside of the covenant, were reasoning in a circular motion and could not get out of it in the process. The lawsuit would be settled in only one stroke when the unfaithful covenant community converted itself by faith to the faithfulness of God. Just have a look at our text. In the comparison of the prophet, it finally comes to the point that the people acknowledged not being able to maintain its case in the court. The process was lost to the people. It was convicted of its guilt. At least, it acknowledged that justice could legally proceed against them on substantial grounds and demand punishment. But then the people looked timidly around. The judge did convince them of their wrong. The breach of the covenant had become evident. The one party stood guilty over against the other. That other was the Lord. Thus the question was what they would offer in sorrow as compensation to the other party. With what shall I approach the Lord? Can the covenant community of the people approach her God, who is the other party in the covenant, with her own offering? Should they pile up the offerings, rich and expensive, and make them into a multitude? Should they bring their own blood to the Lord, as the king did by sacrificing his own children to him, as atonement for sin? The prophet was letting the people speak this way because he always heard them reason thus in their unfaithfulness, in their own self-righteousness. But when the people wanted to satisfy the offended party with offerings, of which they themselves assessed the value, then this indeed was the circular way of reasoning that did not accept God in faith by trusting in his covenant faithfulness. Did they want to reconcile God by offerings? That is, did they want themselves to calculate the price and pay it? But the covenant denied the people exactly that right. They did not have a contract, but a covenant with the Lord. And it was exactly because of the complaint that they had to pay so much, and that they were getting so tired of it, that the Lord had taken them to court. It was a continuous circle of reasoning. That is why the prophet finally said, "Oh no, unfaithful covenant community, no offering is required of you. The other party in the covenant has only asked for your heart. Now then, O man, what does the Lord require of you, but to make of your heart a temple of pure justice, a hearth of love, a clean temple sanctuary? In the world, where articles are only treasured when they are priced high by means of comparison, a heart is not expensive. It does not count for much. In comparison, it pales besides expensive sacrifices. Yet it is the first, and for this reason it is also the last. So it is everything." Thus the Lord asked exactly for nothing else but the heart. And when the heart unites itself to the simplicity of love, then one will return to the constitution of the covenant and be saved by it. Then the covenant which opened the lawsuits would also settle them in peace. Indeed, that is reasoning in a circle. But this circle is not drawn by a crooked compass in accordance to the flesh, in the field of human considerations, but by the compass of God's good pleasure, which is out of him, by him, and to him. In eternal circulation that is causing everything to come and turn to him. "O man," said the prophet, This address pales in comparison to the first, O my people. The first address was to my people. For beginning by the people, by the community, the covenant comes to require its rights of the singular human being as well. A heart is always a strictly personal possession. And by that name, O man, the prophet shows that the covenant of grace, though it continues through many centuries and continually obtains new forms and phases, in the end does not impose a new order, but returns by a new grace to the restoration of the old status of glory, of the very first covenant of love and works, of that covenant in which God accepted man in love, in the original paradise of God. O man, only in the covenant you are included in the relationship of electing grace, within a separated people, led back to the ancient existence of the first paradise, the first day of creation. I am a covenant child. Thus nothing human is foreign to me. If not, I would not be human.